Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is not Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today?
What do you mean? What? Not Joe? eBay's.
Instead, it's Dangerous Dan Moore. How you doing tonight, Dan?
I am doing wonderful. And you know why? Why I'm doing wonderful? Because I'm angry as hell. And I get to tell people about it.
That's right, kids. Today is Festivus. And we begin the celebration of Festivus with an explanation of that holiday right here.
Many Christmases ago, I went to buy a doll for my son. I reached for the last one they had. But so did another man. As I rained blows upon him, I realized there had to be another way.
What happened to the doll?
It was destroyed. But out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Well, that must have been some kind of doll.
She was. And at the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
And is there a tree?
No, instead there's a pole. Requires no decoration. I find tinsel distracting.
Frank, this new holiday of yours is scratching me right where I itch.
Let's do it then.
All right.
Festivus is back! I'll get the pole out of the crawl space.
Well, happy Festivus.
What is that? Is that the pole?
George, Festivus is your heritage. It is part of who you are.
That's why I hate it.
Look, it's a big dinner Tuesday night at Frank's house. Everyone's invited.
George, you're forgetting how much Festivus has meant to us all. I brought one of the cassette tapes.
Read that poem.
I can't read it. I need my glasses.
You don't need glasses. You're just weak. You're weak.
Leave him alone!
All right, George. It's time for the Festivus Feats of Strength.
No, no! Get it off! No feats of strength! I'm Festivus!
We had some good times.
Well, sir, I gave out the fake card because, I don't really celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Festivus.
Feminist.
Festivus, sir. And I was afraid that I would be persecuted for my beliefs. They drove my family out of Bayside, sir.
Are you making all this up, too?
Oh, no, sir. Festivus is all too real, and I could prove it if I have to.
Yeah, you probably should.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it. You, Kroger, my son tells me your company stinks.
Oh, God.
Quiet, we'll get yours in a minute. Kroger, you couldn't smooth a silk sheet if you had a hot date with a babe. I lost my train of thought. And now, as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
Until you pin me, George, Festivus is not over.
Oh, please, someone stop this.
Let's rumble!
I think you can take him, Georgie.
Hey, come on,
be sensible.
Stop crying and fight your father.
Ow! Ow, I got
this is
I
the best Festivus ever!
See, it's all recorded and everything, direct from Seinfeld.
Wait, isn't that copyright violation?
No.
No?
Hey, if I've got it on a little recorded Festivus poll. Now, Dan, you've been on the Festivus show a few times. Did you know there was actually, it wasn't just a creation for the Seinfeld show. It was an actual holiday created by one of the writer's parents.
No, I was not aware of this fact.
Not only that, it was even weirder than the Seinfeld episode, because the father would call a Festivus whenever he felt like it. Sometimes it would be in the winter, sometimes spring, sometimes summer, sometimes there'd be two or three a year.
No. Well, that's good.
But it has now kind of become a semi-official holiday, no matter what Joe says. And
yeah. It is
December 23rd, which is today.
Is it?
Well, through the magic of recording.
Oh. I don't even know what day it really is. So, you know, you could have just said yes, and I would have been, all right, cool.
Well, you would have been a little mad because you would have missed out on the premiere of Rise of the Sky Jedis.
Yes. Well, no, I'm going to miss that out. I'm going to miss that anyway, but for totally different reasons.
Oh, well, maybe we'll get into that.
Yeah. But that won't. Yeah. Hmm.
All right. We're not able to have the Festivus feast on the show.
Why not? I have food coming.
Well, because I'm kind of tired, and all I really have here are a couple of ding-dongs and two Hostess orange cupcakes.
That seems perfect for a Festivus festival.
We can't have the feats of strength.
Why not?
Because you're not near enough for me to pin you to the ground. And Wolfie
was hitless. I was going to say, I just got a little disturbed, but Wolfie seemed to have gotten excited.
Part of Festivus is the feats of strength. But okay. We can have the airing of grievances.
Okay. I will get
the
air horn.
A lot of problems, people. And now, you're going to hear about it. The airing of grievances. These are the things that have bothered us all year long, which is weird that Joe hates this holiday because, God, does he love making the freaking and geeking section of the show go on and on and on and on, and there's my first grievance.
And that's not true. He just likes to have the freaking go on and on and on.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, there are times when the geeking, I look and he's been talking for 20 straight minutes.
Tjo, he has lots of problems with you people.
I could have went and made a pizza and come back and he'd still be going.
Well, you know, these things happen.
But I'm going to begin my grievances by complaining about someone on this here podcast.
Okay, then.
Someone on this podcast is a slacker. A layabout, a lazy bum who doesn't do the stuff he promised.
Me. What didn't you do? Oh, normally, it is you.
Yes. Over the in 2016, 2017, and 2018, I recorded over 120 podcasts each year.
Wow.
This year it was only 75.
So you have 45 you have to do in the next 2 weeks.
I could say that I'm a slacker and I need to stay on schedule next year.
No, I think you should. Let's see. What is it? About 15 days. I mean, you know, you can do that. You just have to do three a day.
You do know I have two jobs.
Well, you know, you better figure out how you're going to, you know, record during that. Those jobs.
I know what I could do. I could record myself at work.
There you go. Oh, yeah. That wouldn't be a HIPAA violation whatsoever. Corey, you got 120 episodes done. There's only there's one really, really bad problem, though. What's that? He's in jail. No podcast this year.
I don't know. There are times I think jail might be a little nicer.
No comic books.
We don't know that. They have a library.
They have a library. I don't think they're going to have a lot of graphic novels.
We don't know that.
No, I don't, because I've never been in jail. But it's a
no. There's a difference. There's jail. Jail's like when you get picked up and they put you in the pokey for, you know, overnight or the weekend or whatever. Jail's not horrible.
Okay, fine. I haven't been in either.
And there's prison.
Yeah.
And prison is the really bad place that they show in all the movies.
Right. Except for the drunk tank.
That's jail.
Yeah. They show that in the movies, too.
Only in, like, you know, only in comedies.
What? Only in comedies?
Yeah, you don't watch a crime movie, and at the end of it, they're like, well, guys, you're going to the county jail, and we're going to hold you there until the judge sees you on Monday. No, no, no. They cut to the people in prison.
It happened in The Dark Knight.
Huh. I don't remember that, but that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, they held him in county because they didn't want to bring him to, they didn't think he'd survive in the actual prison.
Me either. Yeah.
But for different reasons.
There is that.
He would have been hated and killed by the mob people that, you know, he was turning on, while you would just be loved.
No, I would just be hated and killed by people for no good reason. I don't make a good first impression.
So you're called Tommy the Tun-Tun. What's that for?
What's he called? Prison bitch.
Oh. Well, I'm Uncle Rat Bastard. Oh, are you?
So, Dan? Yeah,
you wouldn't do well. No, I don't think. Yeah?
May we have your first grievance of the year?
My first grievance of the year? All right, my first grievance of the year. We go through the, you know, once in a while when I'm on the podcast, I hear you guys talking about, you know, your hatred of raccoons. And I want to go into something that's more.
I'm the one who hates raccoons.
Yes, I know. But the thing is, I need to talk about.
Joe is okay with raccoons. And I don't understand why.
Not just raccoons, but the entire species of raccoonus. Dementius insanitus.
Oh my!
Because this is it isn't just one thing. It's an entire species of people out there that just don't fucking get it. Okay? They sit there and they take information that they've taken from themselves and decided to exaggerate, or they take information from one source and don't check anything else, and you know that may be a good source, but the thing is that source is not the only thing, and it's always going to be slightly biased. They don't take any of the entire stories, and what do? They sit there and they make full judgments and try to make people's lives fucking miserable. This is Raccoonus Dementis Insanicus. This race, this genus, this whatever needs to be dealt with, and I don't know how, because I don't want to go to prison, but I have ideas, and it involves many, 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 many bladed objects. But this species needs to be taken care of. Do you not agree with me, Corey?
I just don't want any raccoons around me.
Right, and if we get rid of the genus, which we could just do with specific genetics, we wouldn't have any problems with raccoons coming around.
Ooh, that sounds like a Johnny Cash song, When the Raccoon Comes Around.
I'm the guitarist. You have to take over, Corey.
We don't want me singing. That's Joe's gimmick.
When we hit the music, I want to hear him singing the song now.
So in agreement that raccoons are horrible.
Yes.
Good.
The entire species species of raccoons, even though, you know, they're more family, or they're more extended family than actual family. So yeah, that's my grievance, because you know what? They fuck up everything.
I have another grievance, and this is about DC Comics.
Oh God, you're actually bringing in the podcast's entire reason for existence.
Oh yeah, the theme. Yeah. DC. First off, they start doing the 100-page giants that show up in Walmart, and they forced me to go to Walmart.
Yes.
Now these 100-page giants are really cool.
Okay.
It's 100 pages of comics for $4.99. The Batman one had a story by Brian Michael Bendis, which was awesome. The Superman one had a Superman story by Tom King, which was amazing and the best Superman story in years.
Okay.
So then they say, oh, these are doing well enough that we're going to have them in comic shops and Walmart, and we'll have different covers. Supposedly they're in Target, but I've never seen them now. Since they have done this reboot,
yeah,
they're late. they're canceling them at the last minute.
Really?
Oh, the DC War one shot canceled at the last minute. I forget the Teen Titans Go number 2 canceled at the last minute.
Okay, do they have reasonings behind this, or did they just
cancel it? Nope, just canceled.
Huh.
And other than the 24 pages in the front, it's all reprints.
Right.
How can you be late with a reprint?
Hold on. I'll come up with something here.
The other thing the reprint people are doing is they'll announce a book.
Uh-huh.
And you order it. And if you order it through DCBS or some comic shops who don't want to get stuck with a $150 book or a $100 book, you have to put a down payment on it. And then, canceled, not coming out. I have a list of all the ones that were canceled, and it's annoying because most of them, they will resolicit them later differently, more expensive.
Of course.
Like the Jonah Hex book. Here, we're going to do a Jonah Hex omnibus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $100 book. Then they cancel it, and they resolicit it as a Jonah Hex Weird Western Tales collection. It's half as big and costs $100, same as the omnibus would have cost. Or, oh, Impulse. We're going to do an Impulse omnibus. Oh, nope. The files just aren't good enough for an omnibus. Instead, we're going to do a whole bunch of trade paperbacks, which, if you buy them all, would cost more than the omnibus.
Okay.
They're canceling reprints of books they've already printed. Oh, we're going to do a softcover version of this Tales of the Batman book. Nope, sorry. Oh, the hardcover's been out of print for, like, I don't know, 3-4 years, and it's going for $300-$400 on Amazon and eBay. We were going to do a trade paperback of it, but no, decided at the last minute, fuck that. We're going to reprint all of the Batgirl of Burnside, which was so popular that other artists started doing the same sort of thing with their books. It hasn't been reprinted in a collective volume before. Orders came in, and oh, these orders are really great. People want this. Oh, wait, no, we're not printing it. Fuck you. What's the reason? We don't know.
Yeah.
So, DC, whoever's in charge of your collected editions now, I know that the person who was in charge of it for 25 years made a couple errors, and you let him go. Person who's in charge of it now has made more errors in 1 month than that person made in 25 years. Good job. Dan?
Yes?
Your turn.
All right, well, let's stick with DC. This year, well, actually, let's do a couple. Oh, man, I just realized there are two from DC, and now I got to decide which one to do first. You know what? Let's just go with the new Watchmen story that they were doing, Doomsday Clock. No, not Doomsday Clock.
Doomsday Clock.
Okay. Started about the same time as the Dark Metal series. 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago. Okay, it was a 12-issue series. It's not done yet. What the hell? To me, 12 issues is 12 months and should be 1 year at most. But we're going on to 2 to 3 years now? to get a 12-issue series out that is supposedly very important to the entire universe
and
DC, which we've moved on from,
and has tie-ins to all these other books that they finally said, I guess we can't do the tie-in anymore.
Yeah, this seems problematic. Plus, at the same time, you know what? I really want the stories done faster than this, because I start to lose interest, or not necessarily interest, but I have no idea what's going on. Not because I have, because it's too complex, which is a whole different story, because that goes into Final Crisis, which just confused the fuck out of me. But this one, it's like, okay, well, the last one I read came out 12 months ago. I don't know what the hell's going on. And Watchmen alone is a complex, complex story, but it's usually at least you're able to follow it if you can actually read it on a semi-regular basis. What the hell, DC? No. Corey, what's your next one?
I hate comic book fans.
Yes.
Comic book fans, Star Trek fans, Star Wars fans, sci-fi fans, all of them. I hate them all. Now, yes. Do I hate all of their all of the fans? No. But all of the ones on the internet and all of the ones I talk to, I hate you because you hate the stuff that you're fans of. Oh, Last Jedi was the worst thing that's ever been made, and I hate it so much. And anytime anything Star Wars comes up, they have to insert their opinion that Star Wars The Last Jedi was the worst thing that's ever been made. Or Star Trek. Oh, Star Trek Discovery. All this social justice warrior crap. And the first time I heard that, I went, wait a minute. Star Trek is always been social justice warriors.
Yeah.
Always. It had the first interracial kiss on national television. It told stories about how war was wrong, bigotry is wrong, violence is wrong. It made fun of fascists. It made fun of the Star Trek has always been a bunch of nerdy liberals who are traveling around the galaxy trying to make things better.
Wait a minute. What interracial kiss?
Trek had Kirk and Uhura.
Oh, between a black woman and an idiot. Got it.
To the point where I would like to point out there were some stations in the South that did not show that episode.
Really?
Really.
Oh, good God. Yeah, okay, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but at the same time I am.
Not only that, we're living in a time now where that's not a big deal, but I've listened to Don McGregor talk about how he had to go to Stan Lee to get approval to have an interracial kiss in Black Panther.
Uh-huh.
Because they were scared that Southern stores wouldn't put the book out, and the way he got Stan to do it is, hey, Stan, don't you want to be the first comic book to show this? And Stan always wanted to be saw as a trailblazer, and that's how he got Stan to approve it.
Huh. Okay.
Oh, these comic books are all social justice warrior crap. Well, don't read Superman, especially in the early days when he was beating up mine owners and landlords and...
Yeah. Obviously, they also didn't hear the villain Bloodsport.
But just because you get butthurt over something, oh, they had an Asian woman in Star Wars. Fuck you.
See, this, by the way, this, these are members of the Raccoonus. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. These are the people that need to be taken care of.
I didn't know that the people who bellyache about Star Wars all the time were raccoons.
Well, they're raccoonist dementius insanicus.
Oh, okay.
Which is, it's like I said, it's a genus. It's not an actual raccoon. It's just kind of that genus. But the thing is, that's the type of shit I'm talking about. Is that they get butt hurt and then, you know, have to go off and just, yeah. But I'm going back to another one. I was just, you know, that I'm just I'm doing the comedy thing, going back to the callback.
Oh, the callback. Okay. Yeah. But look, if you don't like something, that's okay.
Yeah.
Joe and I do reviews all the time.
Yeah.
And in the review, we say buy, borrow, ignore.
Yeah.
If you like this, you should buy it. This is okay. Maybe borrow it from the library or buy it if you're interested in this. Ignore. It's not very good. Ignore it.
Yeah.
Now, those are reviews. Criticism, because I do hear a lot of people complain about critics. Mm-hmm. Criticism, that's what we do in the, like, Solitaire Rose series in review, or where I take a story and I break it down. Criticism is different from a review. Criticism is saying, here's how it fits into comics as a whole. Here's what works. Here's what doesn't. Here are the techniques they're using, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Criticism is actually much more complex than saying, oh, fucking like this.
Yeah. And you know, if the people should die because of it. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's the other thing that I don't get. It's, I don't like this, therefore, people should be hurt.
Yeah.
Who were involved in it.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
Look, I don't like Vince Coletta's inks on anything. And I'm not going to say I'm glad he's dead. I am glad
he's not. But you're glad he's dead.
No, I'm just glad he's not working at comics anymore. But while he was alive, I didn't say, oh, man, Vince Coletta inked this issue. Someone should go to his house and beat him with a stick. Mostly because he was mob connected and he'd probably have you taken out. Dan?
Oh, I hate it when those people have mob connections. Anyway, okay, so my other DC one is this Year of the Villain thing. When.
That has been going on for 5 years, it feels like.
Yes, it feels like it's been going on for 5 years, but it's only been like maybe a year and a half. But the thing is, the old crossovers that you would have, you know, you would have some of the issues throughout there, like Marvel and DC that were interconnected, or there were certain, tie-ins like we were talking about with Doomsday Clock that didn't get it because they took too long. But this Year of the Villain is basically, okay, at first it seemed like it was only half of the entire series that was going on, that you had to be able to pick all of these up to really get an idea of what was going on. However, on the other half, the Batman Who Laughs, his story that was going on. That you, of course, had to pick up all those in order to really get the full idea of what's going on. Oh, but wait. No, these two stories are actually going to collide at the end of the Year of the Villain. So, no, you actually should have been reading the entire series of everything DC released in order to understand what the fuck is going on. No! I can't do that. I don't have the money to do that. Plus, at the same time, some of the comics are not worth reading. And in the Year of the Villain, not only have they decided to up, you know, certain villains and their powers, like Black Mask. Basically, Black Mask is now Clayface. Great. Why the hell do we need another Clayface? Okay, Clayface is now working with Batman, understandable, but at the same time, you know what? We don't need a damn another Clayface. Black Mask was fine on his own. I liked the idea of just a sadistic guy with a mask that was burned onto his face going around torturing people. There was no need to make it so he could now change his face. Why? 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 DC, you don't have to do this. You just don't. Why?
You know, the other thing DC has did that I have a huge grievance about?
No.
Vertigo no longer exists.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of Vertigo's problems can go back a ways. The first is that they, they weren't offering terms as good as other publishers.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that they got rid of editors who were defining the line. Now, don't get me wrong. Vertigo Books still exists, Dan.
Yeah.
They're at Ahoy Comics. They're at IDW. They're at Image. They're at Dark Horse. Oh, Karen Berger wants to retire. No, she didn't, because she's an editor at Dark Horse now. And they were smart enough to give her her own comic line, because she's someone who can sell books outside the comic shop.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the huge hits that Image has had over the last, 5 years. All of them have come from people who started at Vertigo.
Huh.
These would have been Vertigo books if, A, they would have kept their editorial in place, and, B, offered terms as good as other publishers. But no, mm-hmm. DC just wanted to own all of... We've changed how we see Vertigo. We no longer want it to be a creator-owned line. We want it to be a line that we have a big part of, because Preacher might make a whole ton of money on AMC. And we might not get our extra cut of that. The creators might actually get some of that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but 25% of something is better than 0%. It's short-sighted. It's foolish. Vertigo, just go through Vertigo's history, and excellent book after excellent book after excellent book. And then Karen Berger, time for her to retire. Oh, Shelley Bond, we probably need to shove her out the door. Tom Payer and Stephen Moore, show them the door too. They're all successful other places. And now DC's got the Joe Hill line, which is like a whole bunch of Vertigo books that are owned by him that are all limited series. And when the contract is up, they're gone.
You know, at least we can say in total honesty, DC isn't the only company that's this short-sighted. Every company that I've ever seen lately in every different type of genre, I mean, healthcare, banking, stuff like that, they do the same thing. It's like, well, this is only going to make us a certain amount. It's like, yeah, but it's making you this certain amount, and it's guaranteed to be there. What are you doing? But at the same time, yeah, what? Is this something that they've been doing a lot lately?
I think the problem with DC is they're now out in LA. They've been pulled closer into the Warner Brothers world.
Oh, okay.
And Warner just went through, they just got absorbed by AT&T. And, when you get bought, they go through with a clipboard and, all right, who's making enough money? And if you're not making enough money, you're instantly gotten rid of.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mergers ain't cheap, boy.
Why haven't you gotten rid of me yet?
How much do I pay you?
Oh, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I am making a profit.
And, we haven't merged with anyone. So when Pets.com comes a-calling...
Mm-hmm.
Or what are some other big .com disasters? There's a Tout. That was a Friendster.
Toys R Us.
MySpace.
Yeah.
If they ever come and are sniffing for a merger, I would like to remind everyone that I am for sale. I will sell out in a heartbeat.
He will.
I am not one of these people who... I'm an artiste. No, 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 no. If they want me to change this into where we talk about what's on Hulu and they're going to pay me $50 an episode, we're going to become Crazy Comics and Hulu.
Crazy Hulu and Stories.
There you go. Oh, and you need to have a dog with attitude. Oh, that's no problem at all. Wolfie, you're not a wolf anymore.
Right. Bark. Oh, I am so for sale.
Along those lines, Marvel had two lines that I absolutely loved. Icon was their creator-owned line. And when it was started, it's okay. These are for the creators that I think the way they said it in the fan press was really condescending. Us, these are for the creators who've really gone above and beyond for Marvel. We're going to allow them to have their creator-owned stuff published by us. And what it really was, it's okay, as you're negotiating your contract to try and keep you from running off to Image, it's okay. You write this many books for Marvel, and we'll co-publish this stuff with you.
Yeah.
That's where Kick-Ass came from. It's where Powers went to. It's where, you had a bunch. And now the Bendis.
Any good ones?
Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass was amazing, man.
Well, I only saw the movie.
Oh, the comic was 100 times better because it was much, much, much darker.
A lot of shading, huh?
Oh yeah. And I mean like Twitter shade, not extra Zipitone bum John Romita Jr. Powers was really good. Scarlet was really good. Brilliant was great, but they only did like two issues, and then probably Michael Bendis and Mark Bagley lost interest.
Oh, yeah.
But now, no Icon books. Max was another of their lines. I love Max. Max was Marvel's adult line.
Oh, that Max. I thought you were talking about Max, the big purple guy.
No. Alias, Garth Ennis's Punisher, all these great books came out through Max. And then the line has pretty much died, except whenever Garth Ennis comes back and says, you know, I'd like to do a Punisher story. They go, here, do it. Well, I have this artist I want to work with from Eastern Europe who, we don't care. I actually asked Marvel editor Tom Brevoort about these lines, and he said, yeah, they're pretty much dead, except when Garth Ennis comes back.
It sounds like the opposite of what I get.
we're doing
this comic. It's great. Wait, we want to put Dan Moore on it? Nope, we're just going to cancel it. Yeah, I'd like to say that I was that important.
If I could be snarky for a minute, the only reason a comic by you gets canceled is you don't do it. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. You've been a beautiful crowd. Don't forget to tip your waitstaff.
I thought the man who is known in song and story here helping me clean took like half my shake, but no, it's asparagus, which... They're Brussels sprouts, so, you know, I'm okay with that. Mr. Ryan Waldock. I would not put it past him to steal my shake.
And replace it with vegetables?
Yeah, with Brussels sprouts.
I hear that Brussels sprouts are really good if you wrap them in bacon and then forget the Brussels sprouts.
That sounds amazing. I would be fully behind that. You know what? I know you're a vegetarian, Corey, but if you would make those, I would trust that to eat.
Well, let's remember, I have made bacon cookies.
You have, and they are excellent. Your bacon cookies are amazing.
And I'll let everybody know the secret for them. You just use a chocolate chip cookie recipe, except instead of chocolate chips, you take your bacon, you put it in the oven for a while, and then when it's about half done, you take, pecans and brown sugar, and put that on top of the bacon, shove it back in the oven to finish. Cut that bacon all up, and mix it into your chocolate chip cookie dough. It's that simple.
You heard it here, probably second or third, folks. Because he's probably said this before on a podcast.
maybe. But I have looked, and I've never seen that recipe online, so I can say that I am a baking creator.
Ooh.
I don't know if that means anything or if anybody gives a goddamn, but...
You're a baker-eater?
I don't know what the term is anymore.
All right. Insane, I think, is really...
No. I take pills so that I'm not like that.
Oh, right.
Here, let me get the Rattler to prove it.
Really, all that is solidified cocaine. But
no, it's actually M&M minis.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's your prescription.
What's your?
Oh my God, I'm having a bad day. Give him chocolate. Okay.
Hey, these M&M minis look like pills. That's good enough for me.
Uh-huh.
So, Dan, do you have another grievance?
Yeah. You know, it was announced on this podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Oh, no. I almost want to give you the joy of telling the world once again why
No.
Have this grievance.
No. It's you. It's all you, baby.
I have a grievance of the way that the biological system works, where a stepdaughter could possibly get pregnant by their fiance, and then have a smaller child show up in about 6 months, where I'm going to have to deal with it probably for a little while they get all their home situated, which means they're going to be a small thing in this household where I will be hiding as much as possible in the basement or anywhere. Hell, I'll sit in the car. I don't care if it's cold. Why? Why are biological creatures going to be born around me? I don't need this kind of stress. I don't need this kind of thing. I don't need this little thing crawling around. It's not going to crawl around right away, they tell me. But you know what? I'm not going to trust it. I'm going to look up and it's going to be crawling on the ceiling above me going, hi. Ah.
You know what's so wonderfully ironic about this?
Oh, God, what?
Joe and I had kids long before we knew you.
Yes.
And you're the one who's going to be the first grandparent.
Okay, to be fair, my wife had this child long before she knew me.
That is a technicality.
That is a technicality. And I'm going to be, from what I've heard, I'm going to be the grand stitch.
Well, it's better being a grand snitch. Because, you know, snitches get stitches. Going back to our prison theme.
Yeah. The thing is, I pictured the Harry Potter thing. So I was thinking a golden ball with wings. But because it's old, it's dropping. I don't know.
Yeah, that's something that happens when you get old. Your golden balls start to drop.
Yeah. Like a game of ganip-ganop. Yeah.
So, my next grievance, Dan, do you have the Netflix?
I do.
Do you watch the Netflix shows on the Netflix?
No, I do not. No, yes, I do. Well, some of them. Which ones?
Do you get attached to them and want to see how the stories end?
Yeah.
Well, Netflix has lately been saying, screw you, you're not getting that.
Oh?
They are canceling series right and left. I understand that. I don't have a problem with that. Their network, if somebody's not watching the show, they should probably cancel it. The problem with that is they don't tell the producers, hey, you may not get another season. Maybe don't end this one on a cliffhanger.
Okay.
So more and more of their series end on a cliffhanger note. And then, like, 6 months later, oh, yeah, it's canceled.
Okay. You used to watch the BBC, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, that happened all the time. All the time. I had a couple shows that I was watching, and of course they're only like 6 episodes long. They end on the cliffhanger, and I'm like, oh, when does the next season come out? And I'm told, oh, no, they never made another season. It's like, what?
But you know that going in on those, because BBC shows don't make it to America till years and sometimes almost a decade later. So you could say, oh, I just won't bother with that. It doesn't have an ending. Networks did that to me for the longest time. Oh, I'm going to watch this new version of V. Here's your cliffhanger. That's canceled. Oh, here's Invasion. Up, oh, cliffhanger, canceled. What was the Revolution? Canceled. So I just don't watch continued shows until they're done. And yes. Netflix has gotten to that point too. However, it's much harder with Netflix because it's like a year and a half between seasons sometimes. Or yet, what is it? There was one series, OA, and I heard unbelievably cool things about it. So it's, oh, I'll watch that. Well, when's the next season? It was like 3 years later. Second season comes out, you watch it, and then a month after that, it's canceled. Wait, it ended on it. You sons of bitches. Here's the other problem with Netflix. Let's say you do say, well, I'm going to wait and see if it has an ending before I'm going to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if people aren't watching it the first week, that's why they cancel it. So I don't know if it's a Netflix thing or a producer thing, but somebody needs to say, hey, if we're not sure there's going to be a season 3, let's not end season 2 with a big cliffhanger so that then the series sits out there unfinished for all time on Netflix. And someone may accidentally stumble onto it and start watching and get to the end and go, damn it!
I actually, the first time that happened to me was I was watching in the 90s, I think it was the 90s, I was watching reruns of the Beauty and the Beast series with Ron Perlman.
Okay, yeah.
You remember that? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm watching it in reruns, and they were doing a marathon on this one. I don't remember what channel. But anyway, so I'm watching. It was towards the end of the series, and they did this one. As far as I know, they did this one on purpose. They ended it completely with an unknown. You don't know if the main character survives the last few seconds of the show, the series. And this happens, and I'm like, oh, my God. All right, here comes the next episode, and it's the pilot. I'm like, wait, what? Same type of thing. But I think they did that one for the series on purpose, where it actually ended on a cliffhanger.
All I know is that the last season of that show, you knew it probably wasn't going to stay around, because Linda Hamilton was not on most of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And I still remember going, well, it's Beauty and the Beast without the beauty. So Linda Hamilton's kind of said, I could do this show or not. How about not?
Yeah. Well, how long did it go? I'm trying to remember how many seasons it was.
I think it was 3.
Okay. I mean, how many times can you cuddle up to Ron Perlman, let alone dress like that?
I know women who would give their soul to cuddle up with Ron Perlman.
And don't get me wrong, I love him as an actor.
He's just not your type.
A little too fuzzy. Yeah, too many snitches.
While we're talking about streaming, there's too much goddamn streaming.
Yes.
Yeah. There's Netflix, and mm-hmm. then there was Hulu, and then mm-hmm. Amazon, and mm-hmm. then Cheddar and Toaster and and Shudder and your
Rooster
and
Go 90s.
And now there's, you know, so many streaming services. I swear, eventually someone's going to say, hey, we're going to put together a deal where you get all the streaming services for one price. What are you going to call it? Street cable? And if you do subscribe,
TV?
And if you do subscribe, we'll throw in a bunch of streaming services you'll never fucking watch.
Like Rooster and Go 90 and...
But I started to make a list of, oh, here are the series that I want to check out, you know. And when I got to 10, it's like, I will never have time to watch all of this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Forever, ever, 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 ever.
Ever, ever, ever. So, yeah.
So instead, I watch people talking about these series on YouTube.
Yeah.
So, Dan, what streaming services do you have?
I have Netflix, Amazon, but that's because we have it. Somebody with Amazon Prime in the house, and it just came with it.
Yeah.
We have Disney Plus, and then Hulu because it came bundled with it, and ESPN Plus that came bundled with it, which I will probably never use.
Will anyone in your house ever use ESPN?
I doubt it. I might, because I do actually like college football, but I don't watch it on purpose.
I think there are certain people in your life you shouldn't tell that you watch football.
Oh?
I still remember one of your friends giving me a 20-minute lecture about watching football.
Which one was that?
Sam.
Oh, of course. Okay.
I got a 20-minute lecture about watching football, and at the end of it, I rather than engage, I just said, I also watch professional wrestling.
That's the way to go. And did you say because it's real?
No. And here's the thing, just for wrestling. Let's see, there's WWE's streaming service. There's New Japan's streaming service. There's Ring of Honor's streaming service. There's, Bleacher Report streaming service. There's WWN. There's Fight TV. There's High Spots. Yeah, I it's too much. It's too much. And then they go, well, we don't know why we can't get a lot of traction. Well, maybe because there's 20 other streaming services doing the same damn thing.
Wait, are they showing the same stuff?
No, but come on, let's be honest.
Yes, they are. But
one indie promotion
different.
With a bunch of guys who, you know, are in their 30s and make it to the gym maybe once every 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And in North Dakota is going to be the same as a streaming service that does this, a federation that does the same thing in Wisconsin and does with there'll be a different thing in Alabama because not only do they not go to the gym, but they're missing most of their teeth. And I can say that because one of my favorite wrestlers, the Beer City Bruiser, one of his bits is that he will try to bite people. And when the ref says no biting, he turns to the crowd and says, and they all say it with him, I can't bite nobody. I ain't got no teeth.
Uh-huh. Corey, you have interesting hobbies.
Now, the other thing with all these streaming services and all, you'd think, oh, well, at least cable, they're fighting back by having all these series their own. No. No, 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 no. I actually sat down to watch TV today.
Mm-hmm.
I had some time, so and I got a bunch of stuff saved, but I thought, you know, why don't I just put something on? I haven't looked through my cable lineup in a while. What are all these channels showing? You know what they're showing? They're all showing the same movies from the 80s and 90s.
redone, or they're literally just the
no,
movies?
No, they're
from
just showing the same movies. The Paramount Network. We're a brand new network. Guess what? You're showing the movie. You're showing the Paramount movie. Do I really need to see Top Gun again?
Oh God, no.
Well, it's showing here. Oh, guess what? It's also licensed to this streaming company. To this cable channel and this cable channel and this cable channel. If you want to see movies from the last 10 years, boy, I love the Marvel movies, but goddamn, they don't need to be on every single night on FX TNT. Oh, look, they're showing Iron Man again. That's the 8th time this week.
See, this is why I don't have cable.
I need cable because I like watching pro wrestling and football.
Well, yeah, but now you can get the streaming versions.
No. Football doesn't stream. And the pro wrestling, actually, if you want to watch the main shows, Raw, SmackDown, all that.
Yeah.
They've been on the streaming service for a month, and they've been edited because Vince McMahon goes, yeah, this segment here, I don't like it. Take it out.
Oh, poor Corey.
I like this guy's face. Don't show that match.
Well, yeah, the things you have to suffer through.
I know. It's terrible to be me. But these are our grievances.
Yes, they are. Or they were.
What else do I have on this list? I will be very short with this, Dan.
Okay.
I hate all politics and all people who talk politics, and the fact that our politics are being dominated by a failed reality TV star who doesn't know how to wear a fucking tie.
Okay.
I should not end at your crotch.
Well, when that's the most important thing to you.
Your tie should... You know, right about, you know, mid-waist. That's where it's supposed to be. Even children know that. Even people who make clip-on ties know that. Nope, tie's got to go to my... If it's above my belt buckle, it's too damn short.
I tried to get Wolfie a tie like that. Unfortunately, it went well past my elbow.
And I'm going to prove... I will prove categorically that everyone around our president hates him.
Okay.
Dan, have you ever come out of the bathroom with toilet paper on your shoe? Be honest.
No, I'm trying to think if that's ever happened to me.
Have you ever seen someone come out of the bathroom?
Yes, I have seen it happen.
And have you kind of said to him, hey, you need to, you know, or did someone who knows them and likes say, hey, you got our president went all the way up to Air Force One with toilet paper on his shoe. That means he went from the living quarters of the White House through the West Wing, through the Rose Garden, through everything else. And no one said, Mr. President, you know, because they're like, look at that fucking idiot. You got to tell him, nah, screw him. And everybody involved in it screams all the time.
Yes, that is true. But that's how you get your point across. That is how you get any point that you want to make across. Even if it's a dumb mistake or a dumb idea, that's how you do it, Corey. I don't know what's wrong with you, but that's how it works.
And here I'm blowing my voice out on the Festivus grievance episode, and I'm complaining about people yelling.
I just picture you at work on Monday. Welcome to the what's your problem with your neighbor?
Good morning, everybody. Oh, I have to work tomorrow at 6 a.m. Hey, time to get up. What? I can't hear you. Okay.
I heard death whispering in my ear this morning. No, that was just Corey.
No, I don't look like Death. I look like something Death brought with him in his suitcase.
This is true.
Well, we've reached an hour, so Dan.
Yes.
What is your final grievance?
What is my final grievance?
Yes. The one that has kept you up all week, all year. Seething with rage.
Nobody loves me.
You have two spouses.
Well, yeah.
If no one loves you, I think you've got bigger problems than a grievance.
Well, I am everybody's grievance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're the
How about you, Corey? What's your last Corey?
What's my last Corey?
Corey, yeah. Corey, what's your last Corey? Because apparently grievances and Corey are just synonymous.
But I'm a positive person most of the time.
What?
You listen to this podcast. I've got them all fooled.
Oh, that's true. Never mind. Yes, he is a very positive person.
You read my Facebook. I have everyone fooled.
So, Corey, what is your final grievance?
Every time, one of the things that we started on the show ages and ages ago was a segment we called American Food.
Okay. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I'm giving a Corey of grievances. Oh, it's a measurement. According to Ryan Waldock, yes, a Corey of grievances. It is now a measurement.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. So what is the final last bit of this Corey of grievances?
We started very early on in this episode with our this podcast, way back almost 10 years ago, with American Food, starting with the Double Down. Dan, you remember the Double Down?
Yes.
The Double Down is two pieces of chicken.
Yes.
As a sandwich with sauce, cheese, and bacon.
Yep.
And that
was amazing.
And we have highlighted other American foods.
That food was amazing. Oh, my God. Oh.
The Cheeto chicken sandwich. The Frito burrito.
Okay.
The sauce, the biscuits and gravy burrito.
That changed my life, I'll tell you that right now.
These foods just keep coming. I was at work a Friday, and you know we have a restaurant downstairs because you know we're a big office building and people are lazy like me and we don't bring our lunch all the time, so there's a restaurant and I looked at their menu and they have combined two sandwiches that you basically make if you're sad and don't want to cook.
Okay.
The grilled cheese sloppy Joe.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Only in America would you get a grilled cheese sloppy Joe.
Oh. Okay, I have to say that's much better than what happened at my place, because my place went healthy, and they got rid of my pop. But this is just horrific. A grilled cheese sloppy Joe?
Yes.
Ugh.
And every year at the Minnesota State Fair, they have a new list of horrible abominations that are they're mixed cuisine.
Yeah.
Like what was the one this year that made me Fruity Pebbles French Toast?
God.
Where the milk they use to make the French toast, they soak it in Fruity Pebbles first. Then they drain it, and they mix it with the egg and put it on the bread. And then they put the mushed, gross, wet Fruity Pebbles on top and fry that on top of the bread as a crust.
Oh, my God.
And when you wake up from the sugar coma, they have removed your foot for diabetes.
Oh. Oh. Good God. Sounds horrid.
And not only is the state fair like that, but every year it's like, oh, baseball season starting. Here's the horrible things they're doing for baseball stadiums. You know, there was the hamburger, which had a glazed donut for its bun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they've done where it's a hot dog inside a glazed donut.
Oh, okay.
You name two foods and someone has tried to put them together for horrific Frankenstein monsters of cuisine.
Ugh. Yuck.
And we get those stories on the news, and then 10 minutes later, they show the people, you know, where they don't show their head. They just show the huge torso. Americans are fatter than ever. Gosh, I wonder why.
I wonder why. Oh, man.
And it's the old line, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
No. Oh.
And on that lovely note.
Yeah.
This year, for the last month of the year.
Yeah.
Rather than doing our regular advertising, our ads are all for charitable causes that we believe in, like these. Normally in this space, we have advertising, but for the rest of the year, in the spirit of giving, instead, we're giving our advertising time over to fundraisers to help people who are in need. And the best place to help comic book creators who are in need is the HeroInitiative.org. The Hero Initiative raises money and helps creators with medical issues, finding work, fighting homelessness. These are comic creators who may be switching careers, may have fallen on hard times, or they may have worked in the business for a long time. And as you know, comic book companies, everything there is, you're paid by the page. It's not a salary. It's not benefited. It's not with a retirement. So this is how we can help the creators who've made our lives better by their work. Head on over to the HeroInitiative.org in order to donate or buy items. Artist Tom Lyle, who drew tons of comics over the years, including a run on Spider-Man during the Spider-Clone saga, helped create the Tim Drake Robin, passed away recently, leaving his spouse with medical bills. You can donate by going to GoFundMe.com and looking up Tom-Lyle to donate to help pay off those medical bills from his hospital stay. If you are a wrestling fan, you know who ODB is. ODB is a Minnesota gal who got out of wrestling and got into the food truck business. One morning she woke up and her food truck had burned to the ground. She is running a fundraiser at Indiegogo. So go to Indiegogo.com, put in help ODB get cooking again, and you can purchase her wonderful sauces, autographed pictures. All funds go toward helping her buy a new food truck so she can start her business again. These are people who need your help. If you know someone who needs help or has a fundraiser, please let us know by sending an email to solitarerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. And after the first of the year, when we get back to regular ads, you can buy an ad, too. Again, it's solitarerosenetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Thanks. And even though I've been berating myself for the fact that there are some of the podcasts I haven't done in a while, here's all the podcasts I do. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network has all sorts of podcasts for you. There's, of course, Crazy Comics and Stories, where myself and Crazy Joe Ryder get together once a week to talk comics. We review comics, we talk about upcoming comics, we talk about comics history. Anything that has to do with comics, we're going to talk about. We also have Series in Review, where we review series and kind of give a DVD commentary of past comics that we've enjoyed. There is also Solitaire Rose Radio. Solitaire Rose Radio is my solo show where I discuss upcoming comics, past comics, comics history, and interview comics creators. These are all at crazycomics.solitairerose.com. There's also the podcast I'm proudest of. That's Novelcast, where I take the novels that I have written and turn them into audiobooks. That's at novels.solitairerose.com. Over at Bad Advice, myself, Dan Moore, and Wolfie B. Bad take your questions and give you bad advice. It's at badadvice.solitairerose.com. Now, don't think that I'm doing all the podcasts, because there's also Scrabbling Across the West by Dave Coffell and Stephanie Coffell. Dave is a musician and Stephanie is his wife. They travel the country performing music and playing Scrabble over at scrabbling.solitairerose.com. And finally, the newest member of the Solitaire Rose Radio group, that's Fantastic Forecast, where myself and host of For the Love of Comics, Adam Vermillion, go over the series The Fantastic Four, four issues at a time. That's available at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com. If you would like to advertise on any of these podcasts, you can. Just email me at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks. Oh, yeah, and the podcast that Stephanie and Dave Coffell supposedly do, but haven't done one in a while, but we're done with grievances, so I won't complain about the fact that they haven't put up a new one in almost 6 fucking months!
Corey?
Yeah?
You just play the ad.
Dan?
Yeah?
You got going on.
What do I
plug
got
away!
Plug away! I have nothing going on.
No plan, no nothing.
No, nothing. I am so busy with, unfortunately, you know, real life issues and stuff like that. I have no plans.
Being a grandpa takes all your time.
Oh, you're going to love this for the next few years, aren't you?
I am so glad my son is utterly not wanting any children ever.
You know what? I'm going to find a way for it to happen. I don't know how, considering I don't remember.
Even know where he lives now.
I'll find out.
Well, good luck with that. Because he doesn't answer his phone either.
Well, not from you. You'll probably ask him for money.
No. No, whenever I call, he's asking me for money. But I was out with my parents and sister, and he came along. They were up at Rochester, and he came along. And Mom was talking about, what do you do when, you know, you need someone around, blah, 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 blah. He said, well, Corey, you probably call Mike, right? I go, oh, no. I call Mike if I want to talk to him in a month or so, because I'll leave a message, and he'll get back to me maybe in a month or so. And he just kind of looks and goes, you're not wrong.
Uh-huh. You know, I'll be fine if that's what happens.
So I don't think you'll ever be able to get in touch with him. And if you do, it'll be too late.
You probably. All right, fine. Fine. I'm going to dress Corey. God damn it. I'm going to dress Joe up in a baby onesie and give him a nook and just stick him in your living room.
What do I care? I'm not home.
That's true. See, child services are going to be coming to look for you.
And I'll go, he's in his 50s. He can make a bowl of cereal on his own.
He can make Fruity Pebbles toast. French toast on his own.
There you go. He can go buy a donut and fry a hamburger. he can make a grilled cheese sandwich and put Sloppy Joe all over it.
There you go. Well, wait, what?
Oh, no. That's an
image
we don't.
No. Oh, no. Corey, we have to have something else. We can't leave the listeners on that visual.
Well, I do believe that you'll be going to at least one convention next year, right?
Maybe. Which one?
Convergence?
Most likely, yes. And, that actually is up in the air.
How did the Holiday Geek Expo go?
Oh, it went pretty good. It went good. We're still recovering from our move, our like location move, but it was steady, and you know, people bought stuff, so that's always good. So everyone seemed to have a good time, and you know, then people sold stuff. So
know that you're asking for authors and artists toward the end. Who were some of the authors and artists you had?
I don't know. I wasn't in charge of that.
And who was at the convention? I don't know.
I know.
I was drunk at the time.
Yeah.
It started at 10 in the morning. I know. I had to start drinking early.
Exactly. Good God, getting me up on a Saturday, you know, before 2. I just,
Yeah, that's why we're recording this in 7 at night.
Well, yeah.
Hey, well, that Dan, and a bunch of other stuff happened. I'll be sleeping.
Yeah, I wish that was the reason. I really do. No, I had to be out at the Mall of America at 8 a.m. this morning.
Oh, God, why? I don't want to be out at the Mall of America anymore since Tim Horton closed.
Dunkin' Donuts is taking a spot.
I don't care.
Gee, I'm surprised you're so upset. I mean, you know, with the way they tasted, they had to go away.
I loved Tim Hortons.
Yes, I know, and I know your taste.
Well, it's more memories than anything else because Tim Hortons is Canadian, and whenever I would go see my Canadian friends, I would stop and get Timbits, and they were much better back then, but I don't care.
No, there was the Disney store was releasing a special Star Wars pin that there was like 10 in the store. So you had to get in line to make sure that you could get one. It's part of a set. Yes, it was actually for my roommate, but yes. So.
Well, I would hate it if you had to get there early and you were number 12.
Well, yeah, that would be annoying. I was number 6.
Because my son is into that Warhammer 40K.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a couple of years ago, they had at the Game Designer Workshop stores.
Yeah.
They had a special day. And if you got there, the first 10 people were able to buy something special.
Okay.
And my son had to work that day. He was like, oh, my God, I need to make sure I get it. Can you please be there to get it? That time he answered his phone immediately.
Of course.
Can you go get it? And I'm like, oh. And he's like, there's no, you better get there really early because it's going to sell out fast and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I get there a half hour early. There's nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. So I sit in the car. It was, you know, it was a fall day. So it wasn't terrible out. And I've got, you know, satellite radio and, you know, just a tablet. So I was reading comics on my tablet and listening to my satellite radio. And I thought, well, you know, when people start to get in line, I'll make sure that I get out.
Uh-huh.
Store opened at 11. Still nobody in line. And the store wasn't open.
Oh, jeez.
11:15. Still nobody in line. And the store finally opens. I go in and, you know, can I get this? Oh, yeah, here it is.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the guy, you know, I thought there'd be a huge demand. He said, no, gamers don't get up before noon.
No, they don't.
So I get it. I take a picture of it. Hey, I got it for you. He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you were in line this early. And I said, there was nobody there. There's absolutely could have bought all 10 of them if I wanted.
All 10 went by when?
All 10 of them if I wanted. Because he already had the sign to put in the door that they were sold out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
Well, oh, man. Do what we normally do. on our Festivus episode because A, Joe's not here, so we can't talk about the eBay.
No.
And B, it's kind of silly to do Freaking and Geeking when we just did an hour and 10 minutes of Freaking.
That's true.
And we don't do Geeking on Festivus because that's not what Festivus is about. Festivus is about the airing of grievances. So, oh. Dan, when yeah. do you see The Rise of Skywalker?
Probably after the first of the year.
No. I'm probably going the Saturday after it opens because I do an overnight shift at the group home. I get done at 7, and the first showing's at 8:30, so it's like, oh, I'll just drive down to the theater and be there for the first show.
There you go. No, and we have our
many people there.
Say that again?
There won't be many people there, which I like.
There you go. Yeah, no, the opening weekend of the Star Wars movie is the same weekend as our annual tea.
Ah.
Yeah. That ain't happening.
So you can't sneak out.
No.
I don't know. There's a lot of people in your house during that tea, so I don't think they'd miss you.
No, but it's going to be, it'll be like, I'll be gone for 2.5 hours, and it'll be at 2 hours and 29 minutes, and that's when they'll notice. And so I'll get in trouble anyway.
No, just come back with the jug of eggnog and say that you thought they'd run out of eggnog. So you still have to get some.
Oh, hey, that's not a bad idea.
See, there we go. Always
there we go. And this won't play until afterwards, so they won't know until then, and then they'll get mad at me.
Oh, they won't listen to this.
No, they won't.
I mean, you already said they don't love you, so.
Yeah, and they don't listen to anything I do.
However, well, believe it or not, say, kids. Oh, go ahead.
I will say, tonight, my roommate Ishmael did look at me and say, when are you guys recording Bad Advice again? Because I have a bunch of questions I need answered.
I've been asking that question for a year.
I know. We'll talk.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about our grievances for an hour and a half.
Ooh, we really hate people.
And as we say every year and every episode.
Uh-oh.
The comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Dan?
Am I supposed to say something, or am I just supposed to say hit the music?
You can say something if you want. You can help close the episode. You are the Joe for this section. So stuff your mouth and start singing about stuff.
Right. No, I'm too nervous. Next time this happens, I have to remember to just at least have one dad joke ready for the end of the episode.
Yeah, you've only done this like how many times?
I know, but I never prepare. And that's another grievance, because people don't like it. But anyway, go on.
Well, you don't prepare. Joe is proud of the fact that he doesn't prepare. I'm the Jerry Lawler of this podcast. I just show up and...
and do nothing.
I just show up and tell bad jokes, and Corey does all the heavy lifting. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. For those listening, Joe did get out of the surgery. He's doing well. He's at home. He's all hopped up on goofballs and has been posting weird and stupid shit on Facebook. So he's back to normal.
Yep, he's a sloppy Joe.
Who needs a grilled cheese?
Who needs a grilled cheese?
Hit my music! Funk is on a roll. Funk
is on a roll. Hey, yo! Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here. Don't say ow. Somebody call my mama.
We done, bitches.